Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
BodeSpiritualCenter.org is the website for our guest in studio, Lola Wright. You may have seen her TED Talk, and I wanted to talk to her because it's a topic that fascinates me, and that's kids in religion. I'm not talking about little kids in Sunday school. I'm talking about younger folks and their tie to religion, religious traditions, and their families and things. So what stuff you found is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was largely personally motivated. You know, I was raised in Catholic school, Catholic church until I was 13, and my mom left my dad for a woman on the North Shore of Chicago, which in 1992 was very scandalous.
Sure, of course.
And it became clear to me that, like, the agreements, the cultural agreements, theological underpinnings didn't feel like a match for my family, for my personal interests. And so I really started exploring. And now what I found is that more and more people are interested in, like, a practice of mindfulness and of awareness and understand some of the tenets of love and freedom and peace, but don't want the dogma and the doctrine.
Well, I was driven away. I was baptized as a Methodist and grew up in that sort of Catholic light sort of style.
Mm-hmm.
But I was turned off by the hypocrisy, in my opinion, of too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
So my kids, our kids, were raised in a non-denominational Christian household.
Mm-hmm.
Both my kids are very spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
They go to church most Sundays, I think. But that's kind of unique for that 30 and under age range.
It is. And actually, I mean, you know, we were founded 15 years ago as sort of a response to people leaving traditional religious constructs. And now even our programming or format as an organization is in an evolution. We have done Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for 15 years, and Sunday, July 28th, is our last Sunday. We are moving to a live audience podcast on a weekday evening, and it really is in response to, number one, the competing interests of people's overscheduled lives, and just really meeting people where they are.
Well, you know what? I'm such a hypocrite about this, because my church, Community Christian Church, multi-location,
yep,
you know, a non-denominational church, they put the services up on the app. You can get them there. And there's a portion of me, you know, because my kids are pretty good about it. And again, I wasn't raised in a house where you're going to church at Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like, is this a millennial laziness thing? If I can get it on my phone, why would I get up, get dressed, and go to church? But it doesn't feel like it is.
No, I mean, when we started live streaming a couple years ago, we saw our attendance cut in half. And, you know, we can resist that, or we can sort of meet people where they are. And I think, you know, religion and traditional community frameworks are being demanded to innovate, to evolve. And it's like, why would we expect that we're exploring things like artificial intelligence and immunotherapy, but community organizing should remain stagnant?
Yeah, and if we leave the rigidity of the Catholic Church behind, and everybody else says, well, I better catch up because I'm going to be left behind if I'm not. What about those family traditions? I don't want to disappoint my parents. I don't want to disappoint my grandparents. What do you know about that?
Well, it's interesting. I have four kids that are 21, 19, 10, and 7. And I was
Well, you look great for an old lady, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks. I was putting my 7-year-old to bed last night, and I was thinking about the fact that Bodhi's last Sunday is July 28th, and I was feeling sadness. Like, mm-hmm, wow, that is sort of a ritual that we have that's going away. And the onus then is placed on me to continue to create that context. But I think that, you know, when you let something fall all the way down to the ground and break down, something new will emerge. And oftentimes, I think particularly in religious spaces, we keep doing what we know for fear of the unknown, which is sort of ironic because,
yes,
theoretically faith is about the unknown, right? But we perpetuate systems out of a fear of losing people. And I don't know. I mean, I just think there is great value in ritual and tradition. There's great value in people having consistency and practice. And, you know, AYSO games now occur on Sunday morning, too. So
right.
What are you going to do about that?
Well, you know, I think, too, that the old school, just out of the Bible teaching of be a better person, mm-hmm. Give us some money so we can keep this place open. Mm-hmm. I think kids' attention span for that is pretty thin. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why small groups have become so popular, because the small group idea being that you're going to be able to talk about the world you're living in and the life that you're leading and how your spirituality applies to it is much more personal.
Yeah, I also think that, you know, the state of the nation is causing a lot of confrontation to people's spiritual framework. I think that, like, to your earlier point, the hypocrisy that younger generations are seeing in politics, in religion, in lots of institutional spaces is causing a kind of revolution or an evolution that I think is actually really healthy. So the things that once worked are no longer working, and we see that really across all systems. We're seeing that in our economy. We're seeing that in government. And we can be sort of fearful about that and constrict and contract and try to hold on to what we know, or we can trust that the nature of life is to evolve. And, you know, all the critiques of young people, I largely disagree with. I mean, Bodhi attracts tons of young people.
Sure.
And I think part of that is because we're really interested in the perspectives that they bring and how we're being called to loosen our attachments and evolve into more conscious beings.
Well, if you believe whatever God, I always say whatever God you believe in, get closer to that God.
Yep.
And good luck with you.
Yep.
But I also believe, and this is part of clearing up the hypocrisy maybe, that if I don't want to go to church on a Sunday, and I show up because I feel obligated.
Yep.
Well, God knows I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
That's my set of beliefs, right? So I'm better off being at home or wherever I want to be and spending some time either meditating mm-hmm. or praying mm-hmm. or talking about the things that matter than I am sitting in church for an hour and wishing I wasn't there.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is that the philosophical underpinnings of Bodhi, if you will, don't involve obligation. And when you take hell and obligation out of the equation, the question becomes, how do you motivate people to participate?
Right.
Because if obligation and hell are the motivators because you're scared out of your mind, mm-hmm. I think that game is coming to an end. You know, one of my teachers and friends is this guy named Michael Beckwith, and he always says, pain pushes until vision pulls. And I think humanity has been pushed by pain for thousands of years. And actually, our brains are evolving such that we could be pulled by a bigger idea than just fear and pain. Neuroscience is proving that. The demise or the sort of deconstruction of religion is proving
right.
that. Human beings want to be pulled by a vision. They don't want to be beaten. You know, I mean, honestly, like, you know, all due respect to people who identify as Catholic, but, you know, I oftentimes will still go to my local parish on occasions just to see how the rhetoric is evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, by and large, it isn't. You know, and I think people are tired of sitting in spaces where they're told how bad and wrong they are.
Well, I just don't know how in 2019, along with that, you can say one half of our congregation is not godly enough to lead the congregation.
That's right.
That is completely counter to what the Bible says, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. Yeah, my grandmother was a devout social justice Catholic. And when I became an ordained minister in Ancient Wisdom and New Thought teachings, I called her and said, hey, you know, just want to let you know this is what's going on in my world. And she said, oh, I am so grateful we finally have a priest. You know,
wow.
And I mean, she knew exactly what she was
sure,
saying.
Of course.
She, you know, my grandfather, by the time she was 87, my grandfather was 89, she said, Bill, I really think we should go to I think it was like the Methodist Church or the Episcopal Church. I'm sick of this Catholic stuff.
Right.
I can't negotiate this in my soul anymore. And he was like, Terry, why would we do that now?
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather ended up dying shortly thereafter, and she buried him and memorialized him in the Episcopal Church. It was pretty funny, just
wow.
because she was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right, right.
You know, this game of, you know, pretending some people are bestowed with this and others aren't. You know, my uncle died of AIDS in, I think, 1985, and watching her respond to the church's reaction to her gay son dying of AIDS, I think that was sort of the beginning of the end for her. It was like, she was a devotional follower of Jesus and really thought, these people don't know Jesus. If they don't know how to treat my son in this hour, then what are we really doing here?
Yeah.
And I think more and more, regardless of your religious tradition, younger people are saying, wait a second, there is a massive integrity issue between what we say we believe and how we walk on the planet. And that's not working. It's leading to the devastation of our climate. It's leading to the devastation of human relationships. It's, you know, it's just something's not working. It's time for something new.
More coming up. Lola Wright from the BodhiSpiritualCenter.org, which is a great website, by the way. I encourage you to spend some time there. Because really, you could go to the Bodhi Spiritual Center, but she's not there right now. You want to throw out a phone number, too, or is it best just to go to the website?
Yeah, go to the website or go to social. Our social handles are at Bodhi Chicago.
Yeah, BODHI, by the way.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Lola Wright's here, the Bodhi Spiritual Center. If somebody said, what's your main mission?
I'm really committed to awakening humanity from the trance of fear. I feel like people are walking in a triggered reactive state, in a perpetual state of fear, which actually is consistent with our physiology and our biology. But most of us aren't actually living in a survival state. So really what I'm up to is waking people up to the ways that fear runs them. And then imagine who you could be, what you could be up to if you weren't in a perpetual loop of fear.
Well, fear causes you to react,
exactly.
And you only act when you react. We know that the most successful people in the world act and everybody else reacts to them. When you do that emotionally, I think we've seen study after study, and obviously anecdotally, real human action, whether it's your marriage, your dating, whatever, act.
Yes, that's right. I mean, honestly, my number one tip for people is breathe. Consciously breathe. Let your shoulders fall. Notice your brow. Notice your jaw. They're usually in a constricted state. See if you can create a little bit of spaciousness between your earlobes and your shoulders. And allow your belly to soften and expand.
And make sure your phone's not within reach.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, our central nervous systems are on fire.
Right. Right, because there's never a break. 847-STEVE, I'm a longtime WJM listener. I want to let you know this interview you're doing right now is one of the best you've done. Both your points and her points on spot. Very interesting. Thank you. And then, 847, this sounds like another opportunity to isolate ourselves. Let's talk about that for a second, because there is the tradition of community that goes with going to temple or going to church or whatever. What happens when we lose that?
Well, I don't think we should lose it. I mean, I think isolation and loneliness are two of the greatest challenges human beings are dealing with today. What I'm actually suggesting is find community frameworks that are a match and are aligned with your values. I think, unfortunately, people aren't really invoking curiosity and looking for solutions. And so I can't tell you the number of people that I know that are staying in religious traditions, despite the fact that they're no longer a match for their values, just because they think there isn't something else out there. Look, I mean, you know, I don't care if it's your yoga class or, you know, creating your own monthly dinner group. There are lots of ways to create community frameworks that are like a soul salve. The thing is, if you don't have traditional religious constructs, there is something that's lost. And so I think that if we're not going to have, I mean, statistically, church is dying. Like, that's not an opinion.
No.
That is a statistical
It's a mathematical
analysis.
Fact. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if that is so, then what can be a solution for the innate need for connection? It's not going to be spoon-fed the way it has been historically. Human beings are going to have to start taking personal responsibility for what they want to create.
Well, here's the thing that is, you know, maybe a parallel concern. Churches do a lot of good when they're done well.
Yep.
Less people in church means less money for church, which means less money that could be given to do that good. So is there something that's being developed? Do you know of? and I keep saying kids, but I mean 30 and unders, who are developing a new way to do church as a business model to raise the kind of money needed to do the good work.
Well, I mean, we just rolled out an entirely new contributor model this past Sunday at Bodie that's basically like, hey, I'm looking for 108 people to contribute anywhere from $3,600 a year to $50,000 a year, which to some people might be like, what? But it's really a request to disrupt the patterns of scarcity because we grip our money so tightly. I mean, I will tell you, that's one of my greatest concerns around sort of the dissolution of charitable spaces or communal spaces is how then do people understand the importance of generosity? Like, if you're not going to have generosity be a value that exists within a religious construct, which I can totally understand and appreciate, I hope that human beings understand the importance of circulating what you have. Because if we move into a state of society where everybody's just gripping their money and hoarding it, there's something about the law of circulation. Like, if I can get 108 people to give somewhere between $3,600 a year, which is $300 a month, people blow $300 a month on all kinds of nonsense.
Starbucks.
That's right. Exactly. So if I can actually cast a vision that says, you know, one of the things that it's unique about Bodie is it's a multiracial, intergenerational, queer-affirming, non-religious space that talks about relevant social issues from a curious state versus a drama-based pattern.
Do you have atheists?
Yep.
See, because I think there's an interesting mix between that that's also coming up generationally, and that is non-believers, or certainly agnostics.
Yep.
Are looking for something that they can become a part of as well.
Yeah, I mean, I look at my 21-year-old and my 19-year-old, and if I can't state a case for them as to why a place like Bodie matters, then expect you have probably 10 years left in your business. Like, I mean, the fact of the matter is all nonprofits are businesses.
Yeah,
churches are businesses. There's nothing wrong. The word business is not a dirty word. And if you can't state a case for a 21 and a 19-year-old as to what's your value proposition to them, you will not be around.
You're fascinating. I don't say that to many people. You really are.
Thanks.
I hope we can have you back.
Would love to.
And because when you came in, the shades were down, and because the first segment went well, I let you see the lake.
Oh, I'm so grateful.
I feel that's a spiritual gift in some small way from me to you.
You are a spiritual gift.
But seriously, thank you for being here. For anybody that wants more information, just go to the website.
Yep, BodieSpiritualCenter.org or at Bodie Chicago on social.
And where is the center itself?
It's currently at 1356 West Augusta in Chicago's Westtown neighborhood, right off the expressway.
You're moving?
We're in a perpetual state of moving.
Were the feds after you? You don't know?
It's actually part of being a young idea. It's sort of an uncertain experience. And so if you want to practice non-attachment, come hang out with us.
Well, there you go. You need to become the Uber. I need spirituality.
That's basically what we're doing.
On my app, I hit you up, you come over.
You got it.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.